Thank you so much. Appreciate your forbearance there. Every now and then I just feel like tickling the ivories a little bit. It's always good to be with you. So appreciate those that are in the house, those that are viewing online. And, you know, it's interesting in the Pentecostal church, you know, they kind of believe in that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you might be standing next to somebody and you think they're speaking Swahili. And they're just kind of praying in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads them. And it's okay. When it's God, it's all good. When it's not, it gets pretty ugly, doesn't it? Yeah, so. But we believe that God still speaks to his church. When you hear somebody getting really loud in a language you don't understand, normally there's a pause and an interpretation, because the Pentecostal folks believe the Lord still speaks to his church today. Man, aren't you glad? And he does regardless through his Holy Spirit. And just really good to be here, friends and family and those online. And I want to share with you out of the book of Ephesians this morning. I appreciate the worship this morning, the worship team. Man, they just confirmed my message again and again and again. I appreciate that, brother. Praise the Lord. Isn't that neat when the Lord works that out, you know, and he's kind of going before you, and you're like, God, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? If you'd like to stand with me, that's good. I'm going to be sharing out of the English Standard Version this morning. Raised on King James, so when I start quoting that, that kind of spills out. But I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. And, you know, Paul's talking about walking in love in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And he talks about some pretty egregious things. And that's not really where I want to start and focus this morning. I want to jump down to verse 15. And I kind of want to focus this morning on what Paul has to tell us there, verse 15 through 21. And he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How many of you know it's good to be in the perfect will of God? Know what the will of God is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Verse 20 is kind of my focus this morning. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, God. And Lord, we're so thankful for your word that's a living word, Lord. It's not a dead word. It's not just black letters on a white page. But Lord, it's a living word. What does that mean, Lord? I'm thankful that as we read your word, it does something. It feeds your Holy Spirit, Lord. When we've asked you to have lordship and leadership of our life, Lord, it nurtures, it encourages, it feeds us, it sustains us, it gives us encouragement, it gives us strength, it gives us overcoming power, it gives us discernment. And Lord, I'm thankful for that word. And Lord, I just pray this morning, God, that Lord, your sweet Holy Spirit that we've already felt here this morning would come in even greater measure. Lord, that anointing represented by the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, would that same anointing come from the very rooftop to the foundations, Father? Lord, would you destroy every attack of the evil one, every snare of the fowler, every distraction, every hex and hoax of witchcraft, all those things, Lord, that are not pleasing to you. God, would you just push back the darkness this morning, God? Lord, would you push it back, Lord, and allow your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, let that peace fall. Lord, let your sweet presence fall that we've sensed here already. Father, I just pray that that just come in even greater measure, Lord. Lord, that you just prepare hearts to receive and ears to hear the message you burden my heart with. God, I just pray it's your word and not man's. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and all the praise and all God's people said. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, it's interesting, giving thanks during birthdays and holidays, you know, that kind of goes without saying, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but man, I am thankful for the feast. I mean, I'm ready to eat. We got to break it out. I mean, we're getting ready for the 250th anniversary of America, right? I mean, the grill is begging to get rolled out and fired up. Praise God. You know, I've got to do it. You know, I just feel the twisting of my arm. I got to get out there and do it. I love the feast. I love the celebration. I'm as patriotic as they come. You know, I got my tie on this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and a lot of times we go back to Thanksgiving, though, don't we? When we talk about giving thanks, you know, the Mayflower and all that, you know, there was like 102, half of them perished, and it wasn't, you know, back in 1621, it wasn't until the Native Americans helped them survive in the wilderness. Praise God. But one thing I've noticed over the years is, you know, this mandate to give thanks in everything. with God can be challenging, especially when you're going through really hard times, really tough times. And it was interesting. The Lord began speaking to me about this on Tuesday, and I was reminded of Bishop Charles Henry Brent. He said, pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. And I'm like, man, I feel that. You know, there's times, you know, through the years, I don't know if it's happened to you, if you have children, but, man, there were times when even some of my children, you know, they'd make a decision, and, man, I just get livid, man. I could just see red, you know, and I tell Nancy, I'm going for a walk. You know, and 10 miles later, you know, it felt like that. Man, 10 miles later, I finally, okay, I'm calmed. Okay, God, what's going on here? But the reality is there's a truth that all of us can come and embrace, that there's an unseen power that's unleashed when you and I focus on Christ and begin to give thanks, hallelujah, in all things. Because God's got a plan, amen? You know, I ask this all the time. Do you feel like God's got a plan for your life? And I said, well, if God's got a plan for your life, then it's better than your plan. I hate to share that with you and burst your bubble, but God's plan is always better than your plan. But we need to embrace that. And the Word tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And if the Lord inhabits the praises of His people, then we're encouraged, we're exhorted, we're admonished to praise the Lord, to give thanks, hallelujah. How many of you know when God's presence is near, there's peace that passes all understanding? When God's presence is near, there's healing that takes place. Not only emotional, physical, spiritual, all the above, right? You know, we heard that word shalom. It means a wholeness, right? We need to come to that place of shalom, and we do that when we come into the presence of an almighty God. So I've entitled my message this morning, A Call to Give Thanks. A little bit different for me. I love to expound things and just kind of tear verse by verse apart, but I just want to bounce off of this verse 20 about giving thanks in everything. And the Lord's kind of put on my heart five things we ought to be thankful for. We need to give thanks for. First off, we should give thanks for new life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Wow. Say, Marshall, how in the world does that have anything to do with giving thanks? Well, you and I need to realize that life comes from outside of us. You don't just think, oh, I'm gonna rise up, I'm gonna live, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do. No. Life comes from outside of you. And we need to give thanks for that life and be thankful for every breath, praise God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with Him. Keep your roots deep in Him. Build your lives on Him and become stronger in your faith as you were taught. And be filled with thanksgiving. Be filled with thanksgiving. Man, I'm thankful for life. I'm on the other side of cancer. I walked through that, man. I'm sitting there, I got that big C word, and I'm like, well, I don't feel bad. You got to be wrong, Doc, you know. If you got cancer, you ought to feel bad. No, I didn't feel anything. But after it's all said and done, praise the Lord, I'm on the other side of that. I'm thankful to be on this side of the grass. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, man, I don't care if it's a bunch of weeds. At least I can do something about it if I'm on this side of the grass. Praise God. You know, a lot of times we just find ourselves in a big patch of weeds, and we're like, man, how do we get there? Guess what? You know, we took a detour somewhere, but I'm thankful for life. Man, Nancy and I, we got a new grandbaby girl and a grandbaby boy, man. We celebrated their first birthdays this last, a few months ago. Man, and seeing that new life, man, seeing how innocent and exciting and so glad that we don't have to stay up all night with them like we did with our kids. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can love on them and leave, praise God. But can I submit to you that spiritual new birth is even better, praise God. Man, there's just something refreshing when you come into a right relationship with God. I love what Pastor David Jeremiah said. He said, saving us is the greatest and most concrete demonstration of God's love, the definitive display of His grace throughout time and eternity. Because we didn't do anything to earn it. It's not, I'm sorry, it's not because of, built our stunning good looks. That didn't get us in. I tell you, I'm as good looking as a mud fence. You know, I mean, God had to have a supernatural love when I came to the gate. Praise God. But Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I love King James, have it more abundantly. Man, I want more abundantly. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, abundant life awaits all who call upon Christ. But he's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force himself on me. He's just going to knock on the door. You know, sometimes it's hard to compete with this life. Everything's looking so good. You know, when you're young, even when you're not so young, guess what, young people? Old people fall into that trap too. You know, we get sidetracked. We get detoured. We get distracted. We get enticed, man. You know, the devil's been doing this thing a long time. I remember on the farm growing up, we used to have this old dog, Healer. Now, Healer, we're not quite sure what kind of a dog he was, but he was a little bit of everything. But Healer was a good dog, and you know, but every time you go up there to pet old Healer, man, he'd just lay down on his back, and he wanted you to scratch his stomach, man. And you know, man, you'd be scratching old Healer's stomach, and boy, when you get to the right spot, all of a sudden that back leg just started going just like that, man. You knew you found the spot. The devil knows where your spot is, too. He knows where our spot is. That's why we need God. We need God to protect us. Hallelujah. We need to give thanks for a new life. Secondly, we ought to give thanks for God's love. Can I submit to you that when God's love touches us, it changes us from the inside out? Hallelujah. You know, it was interesting. I was doing a little painting yesterday at the house, and I'm sitting there painting, and I'm like, you know, eventually we're just going to have to tear this lap siding off because, you know, it's just, you know, it's kind of pushing in, you know. It's not, you know, it looks like wood, but, you know, it's kind of, it's seen better days. And, you know, and I got to thinking, Lord just kind of talking to Marshall. He's saying, you know, Marshall, you need to make sure you're not just putting another fresh coat of paint on something that needs to be replaced and changed and healed and repaired again and again. You know, I mean, sometimes we just want to put on all the good stuff and, man, look good. And, man, how you doing? Man, I'm amazing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so good. And you know you're not. Man, we're a bunch of liars. You know, we'll come to church lying like that. You come, how you doing? Great. You're lying. You know, man, praise God. But it's in our DNA, right? I mean, we got to put on the show. But God's saying you don't need that. When his love touches us, I love John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. King James says everlasting life. Praise God. I love that. Zephaniah tells us in chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Praise God. Man, that's the word of God. The prophet's telling us that. And God even said in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Praise God. Here's a truth you and I all need to embrace. The supernatural love of God is as natural for him as breathing is for you and I. You don't really think about breathing, do you? You just do it. That's with God, the supernatural love of God. And he longs to shower out and pour out that love on his children that call out to him. And over the years, I've come to embrace this verse that was my mom. I kind of apologize for giving you all the scripture bomb this morning. Just a lot of scripture, but it's just in my heart. But this one scripture was my mom's favorite scripture over the years. And God rest her soul, she's with Jesus now. But Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, my mom, she embraced that, man. She had wrestled that through all the difficulties in life that she had to walk through. And that was her verse that she stood on that. Her and her prayer partner, they would meet at least once a week and they would pray. Man, that was her verse. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jeremiah said, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise God. Aren't you glad there's one thing in this life you don't have to worry about? You don't have to question. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. And that's the love of God. You know what? You may not have known the love of God very much in years gone past, but I'm going to tell you what, it's right here right now to pour out for you. You watch it online, the love of God's right where you are in your room. He's there. Praise God. That's how awesome our God is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. Praise God. We should be thankful for God's love. Hallelujah. Number three, we ought to give thanks for a spiritual community. You know, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 26, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works and not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, you know what? It's okay. We need community to encourage one another, to cheer one another on. Man, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm glad, you know, teams, you know, going through school that I had a coach that would challenge me. You know, I had a coach. Some of them I wondered if they were saved, you know, or not. You know, they were pretty tough guys, you know. But, you know, I needed somebody to challenge me, to push me. Because their tendency is, you know, to kind of do enough to get by, you know. Most of us, we're not really passionate unless it's really important. It's a life or death situation, or we've got somebody pushing us, praise God. We need to encourage one another in the church and seek out godly mentors and seek out people to mentor. God's called us to be that Christian community that lifts up other people. I love what Zig Ziglar said. He was a great salesperson, conservative guy. He said, a lot of people have gone further than they thought they could because someone else thought they could. I love Zig Ziglar. Man, he's probably the most optimistic guy out there. He's the one who said, you know what? If I went after Moby Dick, I'd go after Moby Dick in a rowboat, and I'd bring the mayonnaise. You know what I mean? He's ready. I'm going to have a fish sandwich when it's done. I don't care, man. I'm going to go out there. You know, I'm going to kill him with an oar. I don't know. You know, that was Zig Ziglar. Got to encourage people, praise God. Let them know they can do things. Benjamin Disraeli, he lived from 1804 to 1891, a British statesman. Wonderful man. He said, the greatest good you can do for another is not just to share your riches, but to reveal to him his own. And you know, sometimes you and I, we just need to be reminded of what God thinks about us, of what God's doing in our life, of how awesome that God thinks that we are. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You know, there is an old children's chorus. Went a little bit something like this. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We're just one big family. He loves that spiritual community and encourages. How many of you know life can be tough? Life can be unfair. Life can be nasty. Man, life can just be downright tough, you know? And that's if we're trying to do our best. I mean, life, you know, that's this side of heaven is a fallen creation, right? People, there's nastiness here. You know, this isn't what heaven's going to be like. I'm thankful for that, praise God. But the truth is, God has called you and I to thank him for a spiritual community, hallelujah, that'll show the love of Christ to you and I, hallelujah, and that in turn will also sacrifice to show the love of Christ to a community that doesn't know him. Man, I'm thankful for a Christian community. Man, there's some days I just need to come sit and soak. Man, I just need the sweet presence of God to minister to Marshall. Because, man, I'm empty and I'm dry and I just need the touch of the Master's hand. We need to be thankful for not just for new life. We need to be thankful for God's love. We need to be thankful for a spiritual community. And fourth, we need to give thanks for godly leaders. Praise God.
you know, not we, you know, we could camp out there and talk about all the ones that have fallen and all the bad ones. You know, all the, you know, godly leaders aren't always on TV. They don't always have multi-million dollar ministries. There's a lot of them
that are in the middle of nowhere and they're being faithful. Man, I love y'all's pastors. I love Pastor Ken and Sister Norma. I hope they're not watching. I don't want them to get a big head, but I love them. I appreciate them, praise God, because they're the real thing. They're the real thing. They're not putting on a show. They're not politicians. They're not trying to maneuver for political gain. They care about the people. I love what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. This is actually the Message translation. Don't throw rocks at me. But it said, "And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part." Boy, that last one part right there, that was a tough one, man. Get along among yourselves, each of you. Because some of you, people in general, you know, kind of hard to get along with, you know. I don't want to point any fingers, you know, because I'll have some pointing back at me, praise God. And then Nancy would shout a hearty amen, quench the spirit. It's just not going to be good, praise God. Right? But God's called pastors, right? I mean, to love the unlovable, to touch the untouchable, to reach the unreachable. You know, they do what the rest of us, if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't want to do it. Well, man, you know, they're nasty as all get out, man. They're worse than a grass spur, man. You go home, you take care of, you minister to them, man. I don't want to have anything to do with them, right? You know, well, let's get the pastor to do it. They sacrificed. They made a decision to follow Christ and allow the love of Christ to flow through them, praise God. They made that decision. They sacrificed day in and day out, and they're not going to tell you about it. They're going to take it all to the throne. That's why you and I, we need to be thankful for them. We need to pray for them. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to destroy their lives. Man, John Stott, he was a Bible scholar. He said, "The authority by which the Christian leader leads is not power, but love. Not force, but example. Not coercion, but reasoned persuasion. Leaders have power, but power is safe only in the hands of those who humble themselves to serve." And there's nothing the enemy would like better than to destroy them and get them distracted from the call of God. It's kind of like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Man, that's why it's so important to pray and be thankful for those that are in leadership. You know, you may not like the folks that are sitting in the White House or sitting in the governor's mansion in Austin or, you know, wherever around the globe or in your community. It doesn't matter. God said, pray for them and give thanks to the Lord of heaven, hallelujah, that he will give them wisdom. He'll guide their steps. He's going to do what needs to be done, praise God. It's not our, you know, any, you know, who needs another armchair coach? Come on. You know, and usually the armchair coaches, they're about as big as the couch, you know, and they've been sitting there a long time, you know, and they know how to play the game better than anybody, you know, because they've never experienced what those people on the field are experiencing, you know. It's easy to ridicule and point out and nitpick and all that kind of stuff from a distance, but God's called you and I, instead of complaining and nitpicking and critiquing them, criticizing, why don't you get down and start praying for them? Why don't you pray for them? You know, it's really hard to hate people when you start praying for them, sincerely. You know, I I'm not perfect at it. I'm here to tell you. I mean, I need the Holy Spirit to help me pray, because there are some people that I have a difficult time praying for. You know, I'd love to pray again them, but God's called me to pray for them. That's all right. Y'all say out your amen. It's okay. Praise God. We need to give thanks for godly leaders. Hallelujah. But fifth, we also need to give thanks for God's grace. God's grace. Man, Ephesians chapter 2, 7, 8 says, "So that in the coming ages he might know the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast." Man, don't you love gifts? I mean, you know, when you get old enough, you understand you're buying the gifts anyway. I mean, but, I mean, you know, still, you appreciate the gifts, you know, that are given. Every now and then you get gifts from outside your family and everything. I don't know about you. I love gifts. I don't have a problem opening a gift. You? No, I'm just checking here. You know, I mean, you're one of the few people. You know, I just want to check here. See, it's interesting that God's gifts, man, they're the best gifts. And he longs to give them. They're free. But a lot of times, you know, we won't accept it. There's just something in us that just kind of rises up. Well, I don't really want that, you know. And then we start making foolish requests. Oh, God, would you just take care of everything, you know. Yeah, I did all this. And just take care of it, remove it. It was kind of like the atheist who said, you know what, if there's a God, may he prove himself by striking me dead right now. Nothing happened. He said, you see, there is no God. And another respondent said, no, you'd only prove that he's a gracious God, right? I mean, aren't you glad that God ignores our foolish requests? He's above that. I'm thankful that God's grace, it trumps our foolishness, praise God. It doesn't remove the things that I have made bad decisions about. It doesn't remove the stuff that I did back in the day when I wasn't serving Jesus. He doesn't take all that away, but he says, you know what? Today's a new day. Right now, we're starting different, praise God. I'm going to make a different start. And so in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't that you got good enough and then, oh, okay, well, I'll die for you now. No, Christ died for you when you and I were still sinners. What's a sinner? A sinner is one who deviates from the path of virtue. A sinner is someone who is outside the perfect will of God. Is there anybody in this place that you have never in your life ever detoured from the virtues that God has longed for you to have? Is there anybody here you have never made a bad decision? You know, they would not have invented erasers if we were all perfect, right? I mean, we all, unless you're under three, and I'm still doubting those, you know, I'm thinking something's up with some of those little ones, you know. They know. Praise God. Right? I mean, we all deviate. We all take detours. Every single one of us. But God, right? You know, but God, if it wasn't for God, then we would be eternally separated from him. But he's made a way where there seems to be no way for you and I to have that right relationship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Let me wrap up with this verse. It says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. There's nothing about us, our abilities, our talents, whatever, our virtues that have earned us a place in heaven. We're fallen creation. We've been born into a world that's fallen. So how can a fallen creature in a fallen creation do enough imperfect works to earn the right to come into the presence of a sinless, spotless, holy God? I mean, you know, that just doesn't add up. I'm not real smart, but that just doesn't seem to add up to me. It's not going to happen. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need someone like Jesus Christ, who was sinless, who was spotless, who died on the cross for you and I once and for all. And if we just come to a place, say, you know what, God, I know I'm not where I need to be. And I need Jesus Christ to have lordship and leadership of my life. God, would you make that happen today? I don't know all the theology. I don't know all the ins and outs of church. I don't know all the language. I don't know so many things. But God, would you just help make my relationship right with you? And I want Jesus Christ to have lordship and leadership. Boom. You're in. Just like that. And it's free. It's free. So that's what verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Today is the day to give thanks to God for new life, for his love, for spiritual community, for godly leaders, for his grace, that unmerited favor. Praise God. You know, it's interesting, maybe today you discovered that all of a sudden you're in a place you didn't realize you would ever be. And somewhere along the line there was a detour, something happened, and you just realized, man, I'm not where I need to be, where I want to be in my life with God right now. It's never too late. It's never too late to say, Jesus, I want you to have lordship and leadership of my life. Would you cleanse me and forgive me of those things that are not pleasing to you and have your rightful place? And if you and I are in that place where we have that relationship, then he's called us to give thanks to a God who loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross. I hope you make things right with him this morning.